Myself in San Diego.
My name's Adam. I'm an alcoholic. Oh, I want to thank you for letting me come out here and talk at your meeting. Congratulations to Token Takers. Welcome to the newcomers. Anyone that introduced themselves as new, stick around. This is a good ride. It's worked out really well for me so far. I'm born here in San Diego. I went to high school up the street, Patrick Henry High School, and my first time I drank, I blacked out. I was at a Spanish party. For some reason, they had I was in junior high. They had a Spanish party for all the. It's kind of weird looking back why this teacher would have a Spanish party for all these young people, but. He did, and so I got invited, and you could bring a guest. I brought my cousin, and right before the party, you know, I don't remember whose idea it was, but we mixed a bunch of his father's alcohol together just so that it, you know, wasn't going to take too much from each one, and we went to Cowles Mountain. He lived right next to Cowles Mountain. We just walked up into the bushes and we drank it. And I remember getting back to the house and, my face was getting numb already and I started feeling really weird, really good. And I was looking at him. He was feeling the same way. And that was pretty much it. I remember a little bit more after that. I remember, the teacher, Mr. Beauville. I remember him talking to me a little bit, and asking for our folks' phone number so we can get picked up because we were pretty messed up, and throwing up all the way home, and I do remember getting into my parents' driveway. My uncle drove us home, and I was going to walk in through the garage. I'm sure they had already communicated that something was up, and I tried to say, "No, I'm fine," and I just walked inside, and I tripped over the garage door to get inside the house. It was really stupid. Just ended up throwing up all night. So that was my first drink. And, fast forward a little ways. I know I only have 10 minutes. Really tough to convey a message. But, I got really into drinking. I got really into drugs. I mean, that's what happened to me. I moved up to L.A. And I met this guy named Speedy. And... And he taught me all kinds of things, man. He taught me, so we would a lot of staying awake late at night and drinking and other stuff and started getting in trouble. And my apartment at that time was just a disaster. I mean, it was disgusting. There was not one clean dish. Everything was a mess. The closet, I don't think there was anything that was originally hung up was not even on hangers anymore. It was all on the ground. And literally, I just would smell my shirts to see which ones were the cleanest, dirty ones to wear. And I would just, get on with life. Eventually, I got real paranoid up there. And I wasn't living a clean life. So I had a reason to be paranoid. And, I had to call my mom and tell her I'm really messed up. I need help. And, of course, she came, like, straight away, got me a U-Haul truck, brought me straight down here, brought all my crappy furniture, and threw me in Sharp Mesa Vista Hospital. And I stayed there for, like, 8 days, and I slept, and I ate, and I put back on about 10 pounds. And I remember the nurse telling me, there's some things you're going to have to do. You know, this is a serious issue. And I was like, yeah, whatever. And I just didn't really... I thought that maybe it was just a kind of quick bad phase I went through or whatever, and I left there and I talked to called my friend Monkey and he came and met up with me and we went and hung out and it was right back at it. That was like two days after I left there, and to be honest, for the next there was a lot of treatment centers for me. It was a bunch of stints to Rancho Labrie, to went to Pathfinders, went to the Salvation Army, went to the Cobar House when that was around, went to Man, there was just a bunch of different places I went to. I was just always in and out of these places. And during one of them, I joined the Navy from a payphone, and I ended up getting into the Navy, and you know my grandfather was in the Navy, and I just knew that was like my destiny. And so next thing I know, I was in Italy, and I got flown onto a carrier. And I hadn't been in enough trouble yet so I could still get into the service. And believe it or not, I ended up in AA meetings on an aircraft carrier. They found out about me there, too. And this guy told me one time, he's like, you know, you're going to be surrounded by alcoholics for the rest of your life, whether you like it or not. And that has been true for me. And it's up to me, is it going to be the sober ones or the ones that are still active? And, you know, I got kicked out of the Navy and moved back here to San Diego and got into all kinds of more trouble and just wouldn't stop. And, you know, there were brief times I wanted to stop and a lot of promises, mainly promises to myself. Yeah, there was a lot to other people too, but the main ones were to myself. Those were the weird ones because those are the ones where I'm like, I'm done doing this. I'm not doing this anymore. And then I do it again. And, you know, in my opinion, you know, just dealing with people in my life, like my brother and people I've tried to help out in the program, I don't think anyone's ever lying when they say they want to stop. I think they really do. And when they say they're going to stop, I think they're telling the truth. I just think that's the whole mental, peculiar mental twist that we have going on up there, if you're like me. And and that's a hard thing to get over. For me, what happened next? So I went to while I was in the Salvation Army, I met my soon-to-be son's mother. I didn't know it at the time, but you know, we were together for about 3 months when she got pregnant, and I saw this really cool commercial to become a commercial diver. So I was like, all right, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go be a commercial diver, do underwater welding. So that's what I did. You know, I went to commercial dive school, and my son was born as soon as I graduated, and I ended up flying and doing a bunch of Katrina cleanup right after that happened, and that was a really cool job for me at the time, and at that time I think I had about 2 years of sobriety, maybe two and a half, when I was going to school, and my son was born, and it was a really, really good time in my life. But you've heard it before, you know, no sponsor, no meetings, no prayer, no all these, you know, these five combos that we need in our lives. I just wasn't doing them, you know. I thought, yeah, I went through a bad phase. I've been sober quite a while now. Maybe my main issue was drugs. All this crap I can tell myself. And what happened? I was in New Orleans, like I said, after Katrina, and got drunk. Went to Bourbon Street, and that was a tough fall, and that lasted for about a year and a half, and then it was bad again. So after a bunch of relapses over and over again, trying to get back into the rooms, coming to meetings, doing stuff like that, I ran into this big book thumper that I didn't really like a lot during other times, but I was pretty desperate now because I had a little kid that was looking up to me, and his daddy was just so damn skinny, and every time his kid's mom looked at him, she'd start crying. I needed to do something, and I was pretty worthless and pretty sick, and I asked this guy. I said, "Hey, man, you know, it was a 1 o'clock meeting. I said, hey, can you help me?" And he told me, "I'll give you all the time that I have." That's what he told me. And I don't know why I always get emotional when I say that, because you know, I try to put that into my life today. When someone asks me for help, you know, I really try to be there for them and give them all the time that I have. And I know sometimes people aren't ready, but I was at that time, and thank God for that, because he had a solution in AA, and he helped me out, and he took me through the book, and he told me, he said, "Adam, listen." I was like, "Well, I'm going to read a paragraph. You're going to read a paragraph." He's like, no. He's like, "I'm going to read the whole book to you." I was like, "The whole book?" He's like, "The whole book. I'm going to read the whole book to you." So we did. He read the whole book of AA to me, and we just sat there with highlighters, and we talked about it, and talked about how to implement it into my life. So, if you're new here, you know, I know this seems like a drastic proposal people are putting on you. But if you're like me, you're hopeless. And there's really, I haven't found any other way out. You know, I talked to a guy's dad today who's been calling me for the past, you know, I've been talking to his son for a while, and I've been talking to his dad, and his son's just, he's just one of us, and he's having a really hard time. He's got everything in life, but he's got really bad alcoholism, and the dad just cannot step back, you know. And I was trying to figure out a way to tell him, you know, that there's just absolutely nothing that you can do. You know, this is one of those illnesses. It's just so vicious. There's just nothing, you know, that other people can do to help us, you know. But God can help. Reach out. Say your prayers. Thank you, guys.